That was quite a few years ago.
Yeah.
Well, welcome to the State of the Church address. You know, we've been at this about 6 years almost. And every January, we kind of update where we've been, where we're heading. And we wanted to do that again today. The church's purpose can be summed up in a couple of, I can do that. This good? All righty. You know, the church has goals just like the world has goals. The world has goals with money. We have goals with souls. And God's work involves your joy and your hope. And the world can't offer that. Jesus overcame the world, and we deal in his hope. It's a much better deal. But we wanted to summarize the purpose of the church's mission, and that is summed up in two major passages in the Gospel of Matthew. One of them is the Great Commandment, and this is what it says. Somebody came up to Jesus and he said, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments."
And then, after Jesus' resurrection, among the final words he spoke while on the planet, he shared what we now call the Great Commission. And it says this: "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I've commanded you. And surely I will be with you always, even to the end of the age.'" So, encompassed within the Great Commandment and the Great Commission, we find the five purposes that God has for the church. Purpose number one is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It comes first. Loving the Lord has to come first, and we call that worship. Worship is more than singing songs to God. It's living your life for God. That's worship, purpose number one. Purpose number two is to love your neighbor as yourself. We call that ministry. And in Galatians 6:10, it helps us to define this ministry a little bit more. It says, "As you have opportunity, do good to all people, but especially those who belong to the household of God." So God's people take precedence, take priority in our limited availability of time and money and resources. And so when we say ministry, we focus that ministry as the ministry of the church, within the church, for the church, by the church. That's what we mean by ministry. Then the third is to go and make disciples. Obviously, that's evangelism. Rescuing people from the dominion of darkness and bringing them into his wonderful light, just like we were. And so we are also then on a mission to do the same. So that's evangelism. That's the third purpose. Now the fourth purpose is baptizing them. Of course, that would refer to water baptism. But the word baptism comes from the Greek word baptizo, which means placed into. And so it also means you're placed into the body of Christ, which is fellowship. We call it fellowship. And fellowship, when we talk about that, we don't think in terms of coffee and donuts. We think in terms of Lord of the Rings, you know? Fellowship of warriors completing a great mission. That's what we mean when we say fellowship. And then the fifth purpose is teaching them to obey all that I've commanded you. Guys, that's discipleship. Ephesians 4:15 and 16 says that as each part, as each member does its work, we will all grow up in every respect into the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. This final purpose of discipleship has taken on a greater emphasis for our church over this past year, because we're in the phase of church planning that's called the discipleship phase. It's not like you ever not do it. It's not like you ever grow out of it. It's just simply a season of emphasis. And that's what we have been on this past couple of years. Now, according to church growth pattern, observations in the book of Acts, we are now entering what we would be entering as a church plant. We would be entering the final phase, which is leadership development. The primary purpose of this phase, as you read it in Acts, is Paul would go back to the churches and he would appoint men to be elders and pastors and overseers, all their same office, but he would recognize these men to be leaders of the church. Now, according to the scriptures, only some are called to the office of an overseer or a pastor. But all of us are called to be leaders and influencers in the church, starting with leading yourself. You have to be able to lead yourself first before you will be able to effectively lead anyone else. In fact, Bob and I believe that it would be God's will for us to spend our first year in this leadership development phase by emphasizing on leading ourselves first, that as a body, we would learn how to lead ourselves, to do the hard things, to do the right things first. But more on that later. Right now, let's evaluate Lifehouse Church by going through those five purposes of the church and asking the questions, how are we doing? And where are we going? And so that's what we're going to be doing this morning. And Bob, kick us off.
First area was worship. Worship, if you remember, and you probably don't, we just do this once a year, but we had desired for our worship team to grow. We mentioned that last year, our worship team to grow. It hasn't. Did you notice? We actually lost Sarah Korfman, we lost Adam Bauer, lost Sarah Bauer. Are we going backwards here? Well, not exactly. We are so thankful to have a talented and skillful musician with Cole here with us. That was fun, by the way. Amazing Grace, that was fun. But barring a miracle, and by the way, I am fervently praying for one, but barring a miracle, Cole will not be with us in the fall. That position's been opened up, and it hasn't been offered to him yet. We'll see. So until something changes, Webb is also leaving, of course. He's graduating, and he'll be gone. So unless something changes, now stay put. By the way, how did you get my shirt?
I should have sent you the memo to wear yours as well. That way we could be twins.
Yeah, it would have been really nice, don't you think? It wouldn't go.
You'll have to let Marcy know.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Thank you.
Anyway, where was I? Webb is leaving. Cole may be leaving. He thinks he's leaving. and that would leave us with only Luke. I mean, Luke is good, but I would ask you to pray with us for more laborers that can assist us, just assist us in the corporate worship and the corporate singing. That's not all that worship is, but it's part of it. The emotion, Luke mentioned it this morning, to sing loudly. Did we do all right? Loudly? Did we sing? Yeah. Sing loudly. Just let it go, because it is supposed to be an emotional release. This is a relationship. We have to connect. So, one good thing, though, that happened this year was a result of a little powwow that Tim and I had with, I think it was just Webb and Luke, I think. And at that little meeting, we decided, you know what? These guys could work together. They could minister together as often as it would work out. You know, sometimes over the summer, one would need to be gone. We get that. But we always only had one until that point. So we encouraged them to work together. I think it was a really good experience for us. I think one of the first times I remember it was over at VFW. They played together. And I thought, this is richer. This is better. I like it. And that's just on a Sunday morning. Another benefit is that they have been working to prepare together. And they do that at my house, so I know this to be the case. It's a good time. It's better than preparing alone and just coming here. That's been good. You know, one thing I would really urge you all in is to appreciate the work that goes into their leading worship. And it's not easy. And it's a lot of time. I just want you to appreciate what they do. Another thing we did this year just to enhance our corporate feel together that we're a family worshiping our King, our God, our Savior, is we just tried again to do a few more things with this place. So it would feel a little bit less like a gymnasium, a little bit more like a home for us. The curtains in the back, I like this here. The backlit screen was an attempt to just try to make our visuals a little crisper and wider, bigger. And we've still been tweaking it. I just talked with Joe this morning, and he made this effort to only allow each slide to come down a certain distance. Doesn't hurt when I'm up here, but you get somebody taller, sometimes it's hard to see what's on the screen. So we have some things to tweak. We tried lights, you know, maybe even be able to shut the overheads off to make it even more contrast. We have some things to do, but that was our attempt. That's part of what we wanted to do here to aid our worship. Another aspect, a very important aspect to our corporate worship, is prayer. And since this spring, a number of us have been praying on Tuesday mornings, 6:15 to 7:15, on the Luther campus in the chapel. It's always open. And so we've taken advantage of that. We've been praying, you're welcome to come. 6:15, 7:15 at the chapel on Tuesday mornings. We also would like to have another, at least twice a year, we'd like the whole family of us to be together for prayer, specifically for prayer. And the next time that we're going to do that is coming up here January 23rd, so Saturday evening, 7 to 9 p.m., I don't know where, to be announced. Maybe at his house. I don't know. Lastly, I'd like to encourage you to join us here. Josh mentioned this. We pray here from 8:30 to 9, and it's really it's a time to just get ready. It's a time to be grateful. Warm your heart up. We all have to do it. We all have to warm our hearts up. But if you come and you participate with warming your heart up, then when we sing and when others come in, it makes it that much easier for them to get with the corporate work that's going on here, the worship of God as a group. That's where we're headed. We're praying and we're singing.
So pray for laborers with the gift of music, and join us then for praying for laborers that have the gift of music. Okay, I can see how those work together. Okay, purpose number two is to love your neighbor as yourself, calling that ministry. Guys, there have been lots of ways. I mean, it is too numerous to count the ways that we have over the last few years shown the love of Christ for one another. I mean, we will forget. God will never forget. He will reward you for the love that you have shown to his people. But this effort has taken a hit. It took a real hit when God called Jenny Larson home. That was a year and 2 months ago when that happened, and we're still feeling it. We scrambled to fill the many roles that Jenny Larson filled in this church, and she left with her absence. In fact, it was a goal last year. It was our goal to do just that, to fill the holes that Jenny left. And God has blessed. So many people have stepped out, and they've helped with the offering. They've helped with the greeting card ministry. They've helped just greet people as they've come into the church. There's so many of you who have stepped up and stepped in to do what Jenny was doing, and I want to say thank you. You have been a blessing to the body. Thank you for those. And some of you guys, it's not been easy. It's not automatic like it was for Jenny. She thought of it 24/7. It's like, oh, I got to get a greeting card. I'll be back in a minute. Off to Walmart. Who would I be speaking of? Yeah, Steve-O. He's the man who has made a lot of effort to try to fill a big hole that Jenny left. But so many people have stepped in and served, and it has been a blessing. But then what does God go and do? Well, then God leads Sarah Korfman to move to Ames and the Bauer family to move to Des Moines. I mean, what's up with that? I mean, seriously, I feel like Gideon watching God whittle down the army. And as I thought about that analogy, I thought, well, why did God do that? What was he trying to accomplish? Oh, yeah, that's right. He wanted Gideon to trust God more than his army so that when they faced the battle, he would know, everyone would know that it was God that commanded the victory, not the strength or the size of their army. I think God wants us to know the same thing, that God wants us to know, if it's just a few of us, just for you, he wants you to know, I'm the one building the church. It's not you, it's not your slick big screen and your fancy whatever you got going on, whatever you can bring. He uses that, but ultimately, he is the one that builds the church. And boy, is that becoming obvious to me. So what does that mean? What does that mean for Lifehouse Church when it comes to the terms of ministry? Well, it means we're stretched. We're being stretched. Last year, we ended the Celebrate Recovery ministry. The cookie ministry for newcomers has suffered. Some service needs have gone unmet, or the service needs that come up are met by the same people over and over again, usually one of two people. What two people would I be thinking of that you have a need, somebody to help? Who do you turn to? No, not the Ghostbusters. It is either Zach or Jeff. Zach and Jeff, it's always Zach and Jeff. They have really been stretched, and it's been a blessing to the body how often these guys will just get up and get out there and serve. For every one time you've served somebody and it was hard and it was difficult and it was painful, these guys have done it 2, 3, 4 times as many times. So it's been a real blessing. Make sure you say thank you to them for serving. Definitely, Jeff. Thank you. And where is Zach right now? Serving over at Noah's Ark. That's what he's doing. So, case in point. And, of course, some Sunday morning ministry needs have gone undone. There's been some times when we totally forgot or didn't have anybody available to go and give Luther College students a ride. Did anybody do that today? There is J-term. But still, I don't think it got done. And then last Sunday, we all that was here met at my mom and Bob's place. But I got word that somebody, a new person, came here. 10:30, waited, thinking that maybe the doors would open up any time. The doors never opened up. Nobody was on task to put up a sign that we weren't meeting here. That's what happens. It's understandable. Nobody's really like to be able to blame. I'm not whipping anybody. It's just saying, wow, we're shorthanded. We're being stretched. So what are we going to do about it? Well, one thing that we did last year and was a goal from last year was to increase the participation in life groups. Now you might think, what? How is increasing the participation in life groups going to help with these other ministry needs? As people have their needs in life met, they are far more willing and able to meet the needs in other people's lives. Involvement in life group is critical to meeting the ministry needs in our church. And so we intend to continue our emphasis on shepherding life groups and increasing participation in life groups. If you're not in one, you're missing out, and the church is missing out. So plug into a life group. If you don't know where, if you don't know how, talk to Bob and I. We can help you. Okay. Now, one ministry we did start. Last year, we started one ministry. Does anybody know what it is? One ministry. It was the men's ministry. Kingsmen. Yep. Oh, yeah, that's right. Kingsmen. We met twice, and they were rich, and they were powerful. They had a lasting impact on my life. I still remember them. So they were good, and they will continue. We'll start up again in February. All right? Now, beyond that, as Bob and I looked at each other, we considered the ministry needs of Lifehouse Church for 2016. What we came up with as the grand solution is Rex is coming back in the summer. Yeah. Yes, we got Rex. So what does that mean? Well, that means we got to pray for laborers, guys. This is where this one's landing here. We need to pray for laborers. The harvest isn't going to get less plentiful, and we wouldn't want it to. We want the harvest to increase. And so Jesus tells us to pray for laborers. Pray that laborers would increase. And that is what we are going to do. We're going to pray for laborers. So again, on January 23rd, Saturday night, my place most likely, we'll pray for laborers. But we'll continue to do that. Whenever you're on your knees, Lifehouse Church comes to mind. You think, well, what should I be praying about for Lifehouse Church? Pray for laborers. That's what we're going to need. All right, Bob.
And that sounds an awful lot like evangelism, doesn't it? Laborers for the labor field, for the mission. I want to say a few things about our evangelism. I came across this verse just this week in John 5:19. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner." The one thing that stood out to me in this verse is he said, the Son can do nothing of himself. You're the Son of God. You can do whatever you want. No, it's not his nature. It's not, he can't do it. He must find what the Father is thinking, what the Father is doing, and what the Holy Spirit is involved in, and he must be part of it. Well, if that's true for the Son of God, it must certainly be true for Lifehouse that we can only do what we see our Savior doing, what we see him involved in. Obviously, he's involved in saving the lost, seeking and saving the lost. We must be involved. We are not a local church with a few mission projects around us. We are a local church on a mission that he gave us, and that is to reach, to win, to see saved. Over the years, these years that we've been here, we've attempted to put some gospel literature on every door in 5 counties. It's a pretty tall order. We haven't quite reached each one, but we made a big dent in all of them. This is why. This is what we see our Father doing, what we see our Savior doing. Faith comes by hearing, so I let him hear. I drive quite extensively throughout Northeast Iowa, and I see, I was there. Oh, we did that. It's an encouragement to me. Some have at least had an opportunity to hear. But you know, I'm saying that what Jesus really would want would be for each of us to be courageous enough and skilled enough to be able to reach our neighbor. Each one of us reach one of them. This is impossible. This is possible. You know, we think about our numbers. We're about 45 here this morning or so. We could be 90. Does God want to do this? Is this the will of God? Think so. He's been testing. Let him test. That's fine. Let him find us still tracking with the mission that he's put us on. Go and make disciples. And so we have done one thing. One way we have tried to give us equipping in this area, we've done the outreach class twice since we've been up here. That's a huge undertaking. It's a full 3, 4, 5 credit class, really, I mean, for the work that it is involved. It was in order that we would feel confident and comfortable. I can give you a complete presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We've had fruit. In this last year, we think there are about six or seven professions of faith, but the important thing is we have 3 of them with us. We have Joe Mosher. I just checked this morning. His wife says it was January 17, 15, close enough. This year, anyway. It's legitimate this year. Joey, April 14. And Zach.
March, while we were in the fall.
Yeah. So, guys, I want you to know, I guess it's only you, Joe. You're the only one here. You are a refreshment to us. We are so comforted that God is saving people. Yeah. Thelma almost made it, but she was the year before, just a little bit for us. So, yeah. Anyway, we appreciate the level of sacrifice and investment you've already put into Lifehouse. May God bless you. I know He is, and He will. He will. God won't forget it, Hebrews says. Looking forward, we thought of doing old class again, but instead, we've decided to have an evangelism training class, a one-time event this time. Darcy's already breathing relief, sigh of relief. Just a one-time event. And then what we thought we might do is to have one of our core meetings each month be sort of a review. How's it going with your opportunities? How's it going? One thing that Tim picked up at Faith Walkers was this Bible. It's just a New Testament, but it's kind of funny, isn't it? It's got those, somebody let the mice get at it. It's got some tabs there, and it's just arranged in a way that you can go from number 1 to number 2 and so forth, and each page then, each indent, takes you to a key verse. You open it up, you let the person read the verse, you ask them, what does this mean to you, and you're off to the races. The Holy Spirit can take it from there. Very, very simple, I'm saying, and anybody can do it. That might be one of the things that we talk about at this evangelism training class. We can get more of these if that's a tool that might work for you. Personally, I know that I hand out a fair number. I use Jenny's testimony quite a bit because I'm in Northeast Iowa, and I like the testimony. A number of us helped edit it. I just think it's well done. The gospel's fully there. I left one again this week at the train station in Kalmar. Happened to be there. And it's still a challenge. It's still, how do I do this? It's a little bit awkward maybe. Get over it. We have to be courageous. People can't come to faith without hearing the message. And we are that messenger. And so I personally would be helped by us doing this one time a month. Just say, how is it going? Who are you working with? Who comes to mind as somebody that God might be using you? And we can pray with you. And that is our plan for the year. Each one of us reach one more.
And I want to tap into this conversation of this purpose of evangelism as well. Last year, we sent 3.5 missionaries to Nepal. Yeah, three and a half. Well, there was myself and Nina and Natalie, and Rex is kind of a shared commodity. Yeah, you know, he's in Ames, he's part of Stonebrook Community Church, but, you know, we kind of claim him as our own as well. So he's kind of like half. So, yeah, 3.5. And between the 3.5, 4 of us, the gospel got out an untold number of times. Maybe you've seen and remember some of the pictures of just being surrounded by Nepali men, women, kids. It was just amazing, the hunger for truth, the interest in the gospel. Now, of those times, I think we've seen about 5 professions of faith from them, because for so many of these people, it's the first time they ever heard this thing, the gospel. Some of them, they had heard of Jesus, but they thought it was just a religion for Americans. Seriously. They don't even realize that he's a Nazarene in Israel. I had to educate him a few times. And so we didn't see a lot of actual conversions, but that was understandable. But the opportunity to share the gospel was amazing. And so we're going again. At this time, at this moment, we've got 1.5. This time I'm going to count Rex as a whole. Two. Two people. Rex and I are going. But the door of opportunity is still open. We haven't purchased the flight tickets yet. But there's 2 from Lifehouse and 7 from Ames going. And we'd love to have a few more from Lifehouse. If you're waiting for some sort of a nudge, consider this your nudge. Talk to me if you have an interest. Because of what we were attempting to do last year, we tried a meal fundraiser. Didn't go over too well, so we're not going to try that again this year. We're just going to focus on the GoFundMe website. So when that comes up and you're on Facebook and you see, go to the GoFundMe website and support these missionaries, do so. Also, Joe has been doing this button ministry, which has been awesome. We're even selling them at our store. It's great. We've sold them. And so, not all of them, just some of them. But some money is coming in through this button ministry, through the GoFundMe page, and then just a whole lot of prayer. You're going to find that to be a recurring theme. We're going to pray. We're going to be praying hard that God would bring in the resources and make this mission trip possible once again. So that's what we're doing with Nepal. That's where we're at. Remember the nudge, because you might need to talk to me after we're done. Now, due to our labor shortage at this time, we are again going to delay our last countywide outreach to Chickasaw County. We're going to delay it again. And the reason is because we wanted to be big enough to do it as a whole church family. Not that we didn't enjoy or value greatly from leaning on other churches in the actual indigenous county. It's just this one, we don't have any relationships. And we just wanted to see, could we do it? And so, since we can at this time, we're going to delay another year. We are, then also, we have, you know, the fair and the Nordic Fest have been annual outreaches that we've done. And we will do that again this coming summer if we have a volunteer to run it. We need a volunteer to head up either the fair booth or the Nordic Fest parade float entry, which, by the way, this coming Nordic Fest will be the 50th year anniversary of the Nordic Fest. If we have a volunteer to head it up, then we will do it. And Bob and I have already pledged that we will support you so much. We will do everything we can to make you a success. But there's only one way that they're going to happen. What's going on? What? You're on. Okay, so the Winnesee County Fair Outreach is a go. And the Moshers are heading that one up. We kind of saw that one coming. It wasn't planned, but we already knew if there was anybody that was going to volunteer, it'll be the Moshers. So that's fantastic. So the fair is a go. Nordic Fest is on hold unless we have a volunteer. All right? So that's how that's going to run. So without eager volunteers, these other things are not going to happen. Maybe we can have Rex do the Nordic Fest.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's have Rex do it.
We'll
have Rex do it. You just text him, let him know you've just been volunteered. Voluntold, as you put it. Voluntold, yeah. Okay. So, guys, our emphasis is on each one, reach one. Don't think, oh, we're not going to do that. Whew, I don't have to do anything. No, we are all carrying now this responsibility, which we've always had, to be engaged in the gospel and believing God, saying, God, use me in my weakness, my frailty, and my stuttering. Use me to share the gospel with somebody that they might come to receive Christ and be added to the body. Pray for that. Each one, reach one. Okay, now I'm going to move us into our fourth purpose, and that's fellowship, baptizing them. fellowship, okay? In 2015, we saw 6 baptisms, guys. Joe, Thelma, Joey, Zach, Hannah, and Caroline all got baptized last year. I know, right? That's a pretty awesome deal. What else did we do in terms of fellowship? We also did our first membership class. That was a part of our Shape series. Remember that? Shape. We had 19 people sign up. They said, I'm in. I'm not just going to say I'm in. I am putting my signature down and become a full-fledged member with all the rights and responsibilities thereof. And so we had 19 people do that, and we so appreciate that. We will do it again. We'll have another kind of a membership class as a part of a Sunday morning as we go through a teaching series called Identity in Christ. Well, we changed it. Making all things new. Yeah, and so there'll be a few in that series that will specifically be oriented towards becoming a part of the body of Christ, a member. And so we will have another opportunity for you to sign up and be a member of Lifehouse Church. Now, as I've mentioned before, life groups are a big deal in this church. Last year, we saw several life groups multiply. The couples life group that I was leading multiplied. Now, Bob's got one, and I've got one meeting over at Mom and Bob's place. And Bob, you still meet. Where do you meet now? Yeah, at Bob's place. All right. And then there's a single men's life group that has now multiplied, and one is the household with Bo and Steve-O and Ant and Lance. Those guys have a life group, and then I have a life group with Todd and Ant. Ant's like two-timing. Two life groups. You can do that. It's allowed. And so we've got a couple more life groups. So that gives us a total of 7 life groups and 1 core meeting in Lifehouse Church. 7 life groups. I think that's pretty cool. Core meeting, for those of you who don't know, is we meet twice a month for those who are committed to the success of Lifehouse Church. In other words, they're very active laborers. And we call you a part of the core. And that time is for you. Now, as Bob and I looked at each other, we did that. We were looking at each other quite a bit. Looking at each other. It's like, what does God want to do in 2016? In terms of fellowship, what would God want us to do? We felt that God actually wanted us to be something more than do something. We felt that God wanted us to be a church family that deepened in our love and our loyalty to one another, reaching a more genuine, Christ-like love, such that it would wow the world. In fact, as we talked about this, I remembered our core group back in Ames, before we even moved up here, we sat down and we came up with 50 reasons why we think somebody should be a part of our church. The top 5. Is here. Here are the top 5. Number 1 was warm and welcoming community. Number 2 is open to making new friends. 3 was we have something to live for. 4 was Bible-based teaching. And 5 was unified. 3 of the top 5 of the overall 50 all dealt with fellowship, loving one another. Even our first year here, we did a teaching series over the book of Acts. Do you remember that? Over the book of Acts. And we looked at how Acts 2, 42 to 47, and over in Acts 4 and everywhere else, it emphasized these new believers who had this incredible love and care and concern for each other, causing even the non-Christians to remark about it. Tertullian, a church father, quotes a pagan official saying, look at how much they love one another. And I think, yes, I want that to be said of Lifehouse Church, that the people in Decorah and of Northeast Iowa would say, wow, those people in Lifehouse Church, look how much they love one another. That is my prayer. That's our prayer. We believe that's the desire of God's heart. And it's Bob in my heart that this church would develop a culture of love and respect for each other, believing the best of each other, genuinely caring for each other, laying down our lives for each other. Now, how is that going to happen? It's a God thing. For starters, we're going to be praying for it. In fact, I think we have a prayer meeting coming up, don't we? January 23rd. Yeah, that's where we're going to start. We're just going to go to our knees and ask God to change me. You can pray that God would change me too, but pray that God would change you. But pray that God would change us. All right, and so let me think. Where am I at? I think I am done with that.
Yeah, but we are not done because we have one more purpose. One more purpose of the church that we'd like to review. You know, I have a wonderful segue between what you're saying and this purpose, this final purpose. And it's God has to do this. I got a phone call this week from Annie Cook. You know her. We talked for an hour. She was lonely. Imagine that. She lost her husband last year, and it just was hitting her. And we had the sweetest conversation. And part of that conversation was her appreciation for being with us, because she sensed a wholeness that we are teaching. Well, it's not we, it is He. He is teaching wholeness, completeness in Christ. And that relates to this last area. It's teaching them to obey. Just to review quickly, the first several months of last year, we went over a series called Shape, discovering what it is about God, the way God made you, that is unique and helpful to the rest of the body. Hopefully you remember something from that time. Then we spent just a few weeks on a mini topic of reckless speech. That's wreck with an W, reckless, so we don't tear each other down. Several weeks, 4 weeks, I think, we spent on reckless speech. And then in the summer, our thoughts turned towards other heroes of the faith, so to speak, including Jim Elliot, Hudson Taylor, William Booth, Corrie Ten Boom, remember that? C.S. Lewis. These are just a few of the men and women whose lives are an example, whose faith is an example to us all. And then we finished out the year, here we are, we're wanting to, Tim was talking about earlier, equip yourself to lead yourself. And so our desire in going through those first two letters or those two letters to the Thessalonians was that to model how we would have a quiet time going through those letters. Hopefully it was a twofold presentation, both how do you do this and things that God might have spoken to you during that time. So that was our desire. We saw a theme there of being expectant for the Lord's return. So it was fitting in December that we would review prophecies relating to Jesus' first coming. It sort of just worked out that way. So that was the pathway that we had in our teaching time. Going forward, we're going to continue the noon studies. They're on Wednesday at noon. Noon studies at noon is a good thing. And that's at the game store. And if you're there, just pull away from the game and go over and participate in the study. The Luther study resumes when, Webb? Wednesday night at 9. Cole will be there. A special attraction. Yeah, I've heard Cole that it's been extremely helpful to have you there. Thank you very much for helping lead those times. And then this winter here, and this spring, this semester, we are going to have one of the most exciting series we've ever had. Josh may have to sit in the back. I plan to be a little animated. There is nothing that is more important to your sanctification than understanding what Jesus Christ has done on your behalf. And it's all yours. You need to claim it. So I am really looking forward to that. We have some of these left over from 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. Got this whole box of them here. And one thing that I'd encourage you to do, if you don't have one of these, pick one up. They're $2 if you can. If not, just take one. But we'd ask you to bring these. And when we have things that we say, you should write this down, write this down. Somebody has said, there you go. Val's got hers. Thank you. Somebody else did it. Yeah, Thelma. Woo! This is good. I think I saw a third person that had their notebook yet. If you fill it up, we can get you another one. But we'd really encourage you to write some things down. And then we're going to have one verse a week for you to memorize. You can do this. Memorizing is possible. I'm going to issue a challenge here. 10 for 7. 10 for 7. Write it down. Read it 10 times. 7 days. Very likely, most of us will have it memorized just from association. That's how you've memorized what you do have memorized. You just reviewed it often. So that will be key to making this series be beneficial to you. But discipleship is also about servant leadership and cultivating new leaders. Tim mentioned that Paul appointed leaders in the early church. And we have asked Luke to join us as a pastor in training. He and Melissa are good with that, and so we'll be including Luke as we can anyway in some of our meetings, maybe on our Thursday morning meetings or other meetings. And then we'll be giving Luke a chance or two to teach up here. Are you noticing something here? A newlywed, teaching, pastoring, leading, worship. This is a little too much. We need laborers to fill the needs here. So, may God anoint our efforts, all of our efforts, and bless us with himself and with fruit this year.
Amen. And one thing I wanted to add on the whole discipleship thing, Jeff and I and Zach, we meet weekly and we're going through Grow in Christ. Mm-hmm. You know, the, what do they call the Life Now? Life Now series. And so we have been doing that. If anybody wanted to join us, they are welcome. And I think we're doing Tuesdays now at 4:30, just to let you know, Jeff. Okay, Tuesdays at 4:30. So we got the Bible studies going on as well. In fact, the women have a Bible study. And that's Wednesday night, right? Yep. Wednesday night at 7:30, the women have a Bible study. So definitely talk to Kristen if you want in on that. It's at the Tutino's house. Excellent. Okay, guys. You know, as I was reflecting on this address, you know, that Bob and I just delivered, we're done here. That's what we have. That's what we believe God has for our church. As Bob and I were talking about it, initially I went into this conversation rather discouraged, thinking about the key laborers that we've lost, you know, and I haven't really, honestly, for the way I'm kind of wired with the gift of evangelism, I was just really bummed that we didn't see more people come to Christ, get added into the body of Christ. I just was kind of been eating at me. Bob can attest. I'll mention it. Well, through the course of the year, it's like, you know. And so those few salvations, lost labors, just feeling like we were going backwards as a church. It really was eating at me. And yet, as Bob and I were talking, I really gained a sight of vision, not just looking at people and chairs and numbers, but looking at the Lord, and my eyes just really began to focus on Christ. And I really just believe that God has uniquely positioned us so that he can breathe on us and he can use us beyond our abilities so that he would receive glory and honor and praise. So guys, honestly, I'm being genuine here. I have now come to believe that through prayer and perseverance, we could see this church grow deeper in our love for one another, deeper than ever before, more rich, more genuine, more pure. And we could see God double the size of this church, something that's never happened before. I honestly believe we could see it happen in 2016. Join me in praying for that. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for the good work you have begun with this church. Even as Bob and I were praying earlier, I just remembered you're the one that led us up here. You made it painfully clear that it was your will that so many of us relocate from Ames, and we began this outreach, and people just responded, and people got saved, and things began to grow, and I believe you're not done. You're not done using us. You're not asking us to pack up our bags and move back home and lick our wounds. No, you're saying you're right at the place I want you to be. This is my work. This is my will. My hand is on you, and I am going to do something so great that if you heard of it, you wouldn't believe it. Your ears would tingle at the thought. God, your will be done. Your will be done with Lifehouse Church, with this city, this area. Your will be done. We're here. We are open. We're available. We're willing. Our hearts, our lives are yours. Use us to accomplish your purpose in 2016. In Jesus' name, amen.
I don't know if you've been following the news, but because of the excess moisture, Mississippi's been flooding down in Missouri. And I don't know if you've ever helped with a flood cleanup, but it's one of the messiest things, one of the most grueling cleanups of any of natural disasters. If there's a tornado, you just got splinters everywhere, and you just bulldoze it and start over. But if you have a flood, you got mess and mud everywhere, and you have to sort through everything. Luke and I, in 98 or something like that, went up to Grand Forks, North Dakota, and helped with that cleanup. That was on Memorial Day, and the flood had happened about 6 weeks earlier, and the town was still absolutely strewn with stuff, appliances that people were still bringing out of their basement. It's a long task. Here's my point. When you help in an effort like that, it's easy to be a cheerful giver because you haven't suffered like that. I mean, they're so much worse off. You just feel like you're a rich person helping, helping, helping. I'd like us to think this way about the offering that we give to the Lord. He's given us much. And God loves a cheerful giver. See, sometimes we just have to prepare our minds to think, why should I be a cheerful giver? Melissa was at my house one time, and she noticed my top tray above my desk, and it was just absolutely full of envelopes. I said, that's a little over a month's worth of requests for money. There are many, 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 many needs in our world, and they tug at a believer's heart. God has blessed us way more than those who have absolutely nothing. So I just encourage us to be a cheerful giver today, whatever God has for you to give it cheerfully. Let me pray and ask his blessing on the offering. God, thank you so much that you have everything we have is from you. But we just acknowledge it's much. Cheerfully to your work. In the same way, you know, we might participate in the relief efforts of a flood. How much more important is it to be in the relief efforts of a soul in the mire? And God, I pray you'd use these gifts to release men and women from the mire of their sin. Bless us. Bless this offering, I ask, in Jesus' name. Amen.